quite a number of you sitting here tonight would know my wife, Rosemary, and I. We've been with CEF for 26 years. For almost 20 of those years, we were serving God in the Republic of Ireland, 10 years in Waterford and about 9.5 in the Dublin area. And we were in the process of moving up to the border area, up to Cavan Monaghan, or so we thought, when we got summoned to the national office and asked to take on a different role in 2010. We were asked to become, we didn't know at that stage, the leadership was changing. Henry and Madeleine Berry were moving on to a new role. And Philip and Denise Annett, who were assistant directors at that time, were asked to take on the role of national directors. And they needed someone to stand along with them. So in 2010, we took up that role. And that was that role up until a few months ago, up until February, when things changed. And Philip and Denise felt led of God, had been exercised in their minds by God for a number of months about a challenge that he had put in their hearts. And they decided to take up that challenge. And so we then moved up a step further. I think the next one's just retirement. That's it. There's no more steps for us as far as, well, you shouldn't say that before God. We don't know. But at the minute, we're national directors. And Philip and Denise are going to come, or Philip's going to come at the moment and just share with you what God has placed in his heart and the way God has led them in these days. Thanks.
Good evening. If you're wondering why I'm walking around conference with a smile on my face, now you know. That's what happens when you hand the leadership over to somebody else. I'm here tonight to say to you that God has been speaking. I'm not just talking about the last few moments that we have had in our conference meeting here tonight, because I believe God has already been speaking and stirring our hearts and challenging us to lift our eyes and to look to the fields, to look into his world. Very often, year after year, we would sit where you're sitting and we would encourage you to hear God's voice, and we would encourage our workers to hear God's voice. We never really thought that God would come and speak in such a powerful way into our lives. I want to share with you just for a few moments tonight how God has been speaking into our lives and speaking into our hearts. Some of you will know that we've had the privilege of being in other places around the world, places like the Philippines, different conferences in Europe and international conference. And you get some sort of a connection to all of that when you hear Brother Jeremiah here tonight sharing. And as you go to these places, you hear things like this in other places. And as we listened to other people sharing their heart and sharing about what God was doing around the world, God began to give us a very clear burden for the nations. I hope that you know that we had a clear burden for the children of Ireland, and we still will have that burden for the children of Ireland. But through this verse in Psalm 96, 2 and 3, God was beginning to stir our hearts, tell of his salvation from day to day. And that's what CEF around the world seek to do. We want to tell of his salvation to the boys and girls from day to day. But it was this line, declare his glory among the nations. And God began to stir our hearts and began to give us a burden for the nations to see God's glory being declared to children of the world. At a conference last February, our regional director was bringing a message, and he spoke to us from this verse in Luke 22, 32. And Jesus is speaking to Peter, and he says, and when you have turned again, go and strengthen your brothers. I sat and wept through that whole meeting and believed that God was really speaking to my heart in a very direct way. I had no idea what that meant. And maybe for some of you already at conference or over these days of conference, God will begin to come and to stir your heart and begin to cause you to think about things. And maybe at that particular moment over these days of conference, you might not have all the answers. You might not be able to work it all out, and that's okay. This is what it was like for us. God began to enlarge our heart, and God began to open our heart to the possibility of going and strengthening our brothers, although we had no idea what that actually meant. And so we chatted to some leaders within the mission, and they began to help us to unpack this, but there was a very definite burden to go and strengthen our brothers, to go and encourage our brothers. And through conversation with Harry Robinson, as you heard his name mentioned earlier on, in international ministries, and also Gerd Walter Buskies, who is our European director, we were asked to pray then about a particular ministry, a particular role. What is that new role? I'm going as quickly as I can tonight. I could take ages to share with you. I'll not do that, otherwise David will be having a heart attack. Our new role is everything to do with leadership and ministry development. And that might sound like a bit of a mouthful, and it's still new to us, But as we began to pray through this role, and here's the key thing, when God speaks, he matches the ministry to what he's speaking to you about. And we absolutely were convinced in our heart when we looked through what was being asked of us, and as we began to pray over this role, we knew that it fitted the call, which was to go and strengthen our brothers. And that is critical in mission and in ministry. Those two things always must go together. We began to pray, and on New Year's Eve, God said, whatever your hand finds to do, go and do it, and I will be with you. And I ran upstairs to Denise and said, we have to go. And it's hard to let go of things that you're passionate about. But I tell you, the joy and the freedom that comes when you know that you're right in the center of God's will, there's nothing like it. Some of the things that really this role is all about, I'll try my best to explain it to you fairly quickly. I mentioned earlier on, we're now part of the CF International Ministries team. Some of the main functions, the main roles that we're going to be getting involved in, still very early days, it's still all just kind of, if you like, unraveling. Hopefully we're not unraveling. The ministry role is unraveling, and we're beginning to unpack all of that to understand it a bit better. But in very simple terms, in very real terms, our heart's desire and our ministry will be focused on helping to develop, to encourage, and to support other country leaders from around the world. Let me give you an example of that, how God goes before and how God confirms his will. We were in the Philippines just back in January teaching at their workers' conference. They just installed a new leader during the week that we were there. Just before I came to go home, the new leader said to me, Philip, I know when you go back to lead the ministry in Ireland, you're not going to have a lot of time. You're going to be busy. You'll be doing a lot of things, but I really haven't a clue. He was a board member. That's, by the way, not to say that board members don't have a clue. But when you step into leadership role of a country that's reaching 1.5-2 million children, over 100 workers, huge work. And Norman said to me, Philip, any encouragement, any direction, any support, any help that you can give me, I would appreciate it. I said, Norman, you're not going to believe it yet. But that's exactly what God has put in our hearts to do. And now we have the privilege of working alongside people like Norman to support and to strengthen and to help him in his ministry as he seeks to lead the ministry there. On the ministry side of the development, it's looking maybe at new ministries, new ways that we can reach more children. You've heard Jeremiah already tonight mentioning about some of the things that worked in his region. And there are other things that we need to be looking at in terms of bringing the gospel to more children, thinking especially of the refugee children. So that'll be another part, if you like, of the ministry development side of things, trying to find new ways to bring the gospel to as many children as we can. Hopefully also assisting in the writing of new materials. Denise is going to be more involved in that aspect of it. And all of this is actually mainly being done at a European regional level at the moment. About 80% of our time will be spent in Europe, hence the fact that we're still living in Ireland at this moment in time. So we're glad to be able to help our CEF European leaders as they develop their ministry. Some things that you could be praying for. We're kind of on deputation again at the moment. As we were leading the work, we never got to full support. So we're sharing our heart, we're sharing our vision and burden. And God is blessing us and encouraging us. Again, I don't have time to share it with you, but the morning after the night before, let me kind of clarify what I mean by that. The morning after the night that David and Rosemary took over leadership of the work, I met with an old youth leader of mine who used to support us and then had to stop. The morning after we had left the role of leadership in CF Ireland, he came along and said, I want to stand with you in your ministry. And he became a partner with us in our ministry. And that has happened 6 or 7 times over the past 2 or 3 weeks. God bringing people into our lives, and we need just more partners to stand with us. But we're so encouraged and thrilled at what God is doing. Pray for Denise as she goes to a writer's course in Switzerland at the end of May. Pray also for this National Directors Institute. This perhaps is one of the greatest responsibilities that we're going to have in the new role in terms of developing leaders, helping leaders to grow spiritually. This is a relatively new course, a 2-week course, which all of our national leaders, directors from around the world will come to. The first one that I'll be going to will be in June in America at headquarters. And then from probably the next one on in October, which will be in Brazil, I'll be leading those courses and teaching our leaders who come into those courses. I can't wait to meet other leaders from around the world to be able to share with them and to try and help them, to encourage them as much as possible. We're looking forward to the summer. We still will continue with all our direct summer ministry. So that means teaching at training week. You young people, maybe you're not glad to hear that. But we're glad to be able to help out and to continue teaching at Training Week and teaching at Kilsimmer at the CMLC and doing CA Weeks and things like that. So we're looking forward, in a sense, this role maybe allowing us to go back to some of the things that we really loved but maybe just didn't always have the time in our previous role to do. Sharing God's Word and teaching God's Word will be another one of the responsibilities and something that I'm really looking forward to, really excited to be able to open God's Word, because we in ourselves can't encourage anybody. Absolutely convinced that it's God who does the encouraging. He uses people like us and like you to do that, but primarily he uses his word. So we're really thrilled at the possibility of being able to teach and share God's word and to allow God's word to do that spiritual work in the lives of our workers and leaders around the world. And it's a privilege to be able to go to Romania later in the year to teach God's word for a week with some of the leaders there in Central Europe. And then the last thing I would ask you to think about, to pray about, City Kids is a new ministry. You'll hear a lot more about this. I'll not tell you too much about it tonight. But this is a new ministry that's going to be launched next year, 2017, across Europe. We want to focus more of our energy and time in reaching the children in our cities. 75% of Europe's children live in cities. We have got to get people and we have got to get ministry established in our cities, because that's where the children are. And so it's a wonderful opportunity, again, hopefully for us to draw alongside some of our workers and leaders in countries and to help them to plan and to put strategy in place and to be able to reach more children across our European cities. So those are some of the things that we're going to be doing just over the next few months towards the end of this year. So pray for us. Thank you for standing with us over all of these years that we've been involved with Henry and Madeline, and in the last 5 years leading here alongside David and Rosemary. We have valued all of your support, your commitment to us, your loyalty. We have deeply appreciated that. It's been an absolute honour and an absolute joy and an absolute privilege to lead the work here of CEF in Ireland. I was saying to somebody earlier on, God has very definitely called us and asked us to step out, if you like, of that into something completely new. And there's a lot of fear, in a sense. There's a lot of the unknown, but we're trusting him. And there's a real joy that comes when you begin to put your trust in God and you walk in the way that God wants you to walk and you go in the direction that God wants you to go. God has called us out of CF Ireland, but he will never take CF Ireland out of us. It's always a special place in our heart. I want to thank David and Rosemary just for the opportunity to share for these few moments tonight with you about what God has been speaking to us about and what God has been calling us to. And I would ask you to partner with them the same way that you partnered with us. Paul talks about it in Philippians 1:3. He talks about this koinonia, this partnership together in the gospel, and he's joyful for that. Can I encourage you and challenge you to make David and Rosemary joyful as they seek to lead the work? Make them joyful in your partnership together in the gospel. Support them. Pray for them. Commit yourselves to them as they seek to lead the ministry here in the days and months, years that lies ahead. There's much more still to be done here in this island home of ours. So from one new thing to another new thing, from one new role to New Zealand. I couldn't think of a better link sentence. That's the best I could come up with. Some of you CAF workers are laughing. Hope you're still using link sentences. An opportunity to serve a new generation in a faraway land. Very, very far away from where we are here tonight. But I want to share with you just briefly about some of the needs and what isn't happening in this country of New Zealand. It's a beautiful country, stunning scenery. Some of you might have been. Some people have been chatting to you today about this and they would be absolutely itching to go to this country. It's absolutely beautiful in its creation. 1.6 million children, all different kinds of children there, Maori children, white children, Korean children. Wide open doors for the gospel, to bring the gospel. There's 1.6 million children living in New Zealand who need to hear about the Lord Jesus. But the work is slow. Here's a photograph of some of the national board. You can see Wilma Flanagan there over on the, you're this side, I think, in a nice flowery blouse there, Wilma, looking well with the national board. Some Korean missionaries who are currently serving there in New Zealand. But very, very few other workers. Some of these other workers that you see in the photograph are retired workers. Here's the chairman of the national board. Here's a photograph of children enrolled in the Bible correspondence course. The main ministry in New Zealand at the moment is a Bible correspondence course. A few hundred children enrolled in that course, and a joy for them to be hearing about the Lord Jesus as they continue on the Bible correspondence course ministry. Let's think just for a few seconds about New Zealand in the past. What was the ministry like in the past? Many towns in New Zealand, like here in Ireland, like around the world, had Good News Club ministry. You're familiar with that. That's what they had in the past. What else did they have in the past? Schools were wide open. They could go into the schools. They could reach the boys and girls with the gospel. A bit like Ireland, there was a thriving school ministry. There was teacher training. Volunteers were being trained for the ministry. They were involved in bringing the gospel to the children in New Zealand. Like Ireland, they had camp ministry. Children hearing the gospel in the summer months through the camp ministry. They had a literature store. Literature was being provided. Literature was going out. They had a national office where the work was based. What is the work like in New Zealand today? That's the past. Here's the present. The work is in decline. A lot of the workers are growing older. Fewer children are being reached with the gospel. Korean missionaries that are there currently reaching many Korean children, but that's primarily it. New Zealand children, all these other types of children, not hearing about the Lord Jesus. The national office has closed. There's no teacher training program in New Zealand at the moment. The mailbox club is still up and running. The national committee, the national board are struggling to keep the work going. The work in New Zealand is dying. And the need is for missionaries to go. And here's some good news. You've heard a lot tonight about the Middle East, where there's all sorts of culture barriers and language barriers and all sorts of different things that we would have to consider. Nothing in one sense to consider when you think about being a missionary in New Zealand, because most of the people, a lot of the people in New Zealand are from Europe, many from the UK and Ireland. So there aren't as many cultural difficulties and barriers. No language barriers, no language school needed. Children open to the gospel. Here's a country wide open, with no problems, no difficulties. Many opportunities exist to bring the gospel to children in New Zealand. And here's the big need. There's an immediate need for city directors in Auckland and Christchurch to try and establish the ministry again, to get the work growing. Are you willing? Are you ready to go to declare God's glory to the nation of New Zealand? Opportunities exist. If God begins to stir your heart, then contact Terry and Wilma Flanagan. They're here tonight. Their email address is here. If you don't know who they are, come and speak to me and I'll put you in contact with them. Terry and Wilma are providing a lot of support and encouragement there to the workers in that part of the world. So speak with them and they'll fill you in on some more details. God's glory being declared among the nations. Here's a possibility. Maybe even an Irish worker, an Irish missionary going to New Zealand to re-establish the work so that children there might hear about the Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Philip. Great challenger. I've asked Philip to stay, and much to her embarrassment, I'm going to ask Denise to come up. I'm getting a dirty look from here. I'm going to ask Denise to come up. And the Irish workers acknowledge Philip and Denise, their service and their relationship that we all had with them at one of our last workers' meeting in the Belfast office. With a nice lunch and a little presentation. But our Board of Trustees and the Chairman of our Board of Trustees is here tonight, Mark Conroy, and Mark's going to come up and say a few words here.
The psalmist declares in Psalm 26, verse 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. If you've been here throughout this day, that's the kind of God that we serve, the God of wondrous works. And naturally, we are filled with a voice of thanksgiving. We've something to publish, to make known. We've something to tell to this world around us. And in particular tonight, just as we finish towards the end of our service, we just want to give a voice of thanksgiving for these folks just right beside me, Philip and Denise, for their leadership in our island of Ireland, as they've mentioned, been involved as assistant national directors and then over these last years leading us here. Thank you for your passion and heart for the ministry. Thank you both for your desire to reach every county. Thank you both for encouraging others to share this vision, much bigger than just a handful of people, and they've spent that time encouraging others to join. And thank you so much for the large amount of devotion to serving and supporting these fellow workers. They know, and you cannot measure the time and effort that has been put into that service and devotion to our fellow workers. So it is thanksgiving to the Lord tonight that he has allowed them to be in this place for this time with us in Ireland. And just as Philip has shared with you tonight, that new role as he's portrayed for us and what they're going to do and being invited to stand alongside other country leaders and assist them in ministry initiatives where possible. But there's one thing. They're still part of the Irish CEF family. Irish missionaries they are now. They've stood and supported people like this for many years. They've now stepped over to the other side, but we are going to hold them in our hearts and in our hands for many years to come. We're thrilled about what God has been calling you to just now, and just to finish with this evening, we want you just to please accept a little gift from the CEF family with our thanks, our deep appreciation, and our gratefulness. Just a little something to help you towards your future ministry.